Welcome. Gerhard Steger is with us today. He's the budget director for the Ministry of Finance in Austria. During recent years, Austria has undergone significant reforms in the way they do federal budgeting. In particular, they've implemented performance budgeting. It's shifted the focus from questions of how much are we spending to questions of what results are we producing. The reforms in Austria have implications for other countries, both at the federal level, but also at the state and local levels. In fact, in Austria, several states have implemented similar reforms. To tell us more about performance budgeting in Austria, I'm honored to speak with Dr. Steger, who's here in Washington this week to attend an IMF conference. Gerhard Steger, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So tell us about how these reforms began. It was a bottom-up effort, as we say.
Right. Within the administration of the Ministry of Finance, within the budget department, we were very discontent with the traditional budgeting system. First of all, we just had a year-per-year budget process. We didn't have a binding medium-term perspective, which we found was insufficient. Mm-hmm. Additionally, we always talked about who gets what. We never talked about results for citizens. So basically, the administration came to the conclusion it makes sense to do a reform. The problem was how to convince politicians to allow us to reform. So what we did is we successfully convinced the Minister of Finance to support that. And then we convinced the whole government. And finally, we had unanimous decisions in Parliament on the reform, which makes clear that there is a lot of ownership in the administration to stick to the reform, which is one important prerequisite for success, to have ownership as far as stakeholders are concerned. The other thing is we have unanimous decision in Parliament, which means whatever government we would have, the reform would not be reversed.
Mm-hmm. When Americans hear unanimous, they'll think two parties. But in your case, it's
five parties.
Five, yeah.
Two in government and three in opposition. So basically, it's about making reform processes irreversible and building ownership as far as stakeholders are concerned to make sure that they understand why it makes sense to change the steering mechanism of the budget. And basically, the budget is the most important decision that is taken in a country. And it's so important to be very clear that it's not only about allocation of resources, it's about creation of results. And both things should go together. Mm-hmm. So the budget should convert from a allocation mechanism of resources to a comprehensive steering instrument for resources plus results.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the specifics of the reforms, Gerhard, tell us what you've seen that led you to believe that these reforms were having an effect.
What we witnessed is that in the budget discussion, for the budget 2013, which is the first budget on this new basis, members of parliament, much more than in the past, focused on results, on intended results. So the character of the discussion changed substantially. They didn't just talk who gets what, but focused really on results, and they grilled the line ministers. Some line ministers had to answer tough questions on the level of ambition for these objectives.
The parliament leaders grilled.
Yeah.
The agency.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
The members of parliament grilled the line ministers in the budget committee. Every line minister had to appear before the budget committee, and we had tough discussions there. So the line ministers got a clear message. This is relevant. Parliament takes care about the objectives of the ministries. So it's a question of relevance, of accountability. And my impression is that if the relevant stakeholders really deal with these new levers of performance, if they care about it, if they discuss them, relevance is assured, and relevance makes sure that ministries are very much interested in meeting the objectives and in being ambitious.
So, Gerhard, tell us about some of the aspects of the reform. One of the key aspects was allowing agencies to keep money that they saved. Am I right that that changed the dynamic in these agencies and how they looked at savings?
Absolutely. In the traditional budgeting system we had until 2008, the agencies had no interest, no incentive to save public money. They literally threw it out of the window at the end of the fiscal year just to make sure that nothing is left. And that doesn't make sense for the taxpayer. And therefore, we said we want to give them a carrot. We want to give them an incentive to be responsible using taxpayers' money.
Threw it out the window, meaning they've made sure they found ways to spend it.
Yeah. Then we introduced the possibility for line ministries to save. If they saved money, they could keep it. And what we experienced is that the same ministries that always told us they would be short of money saved lots of money, saved millions of euros because it was their money. So smart fiscal rules make sense.
Interesting. One of the other reforms was multi-year budgeting. Instead of the traditional year by year, it was changed to a four-year window. And tell us why that was done and what any change that you've seen because of that.
First of all, I think it's important that there is a medium-term reliability and perspective for different stakeholders, for the Ministry of Finance to have a sound planning and for the line ministries as well, because lots of programs are multi-year programs. And if line ministries only know what they will receive throughout the next fiscal year, they lack a planning period. So we thought it would make sense for every stakeholder to have a medium-term binding perspective. And therefore, we introduced that on a rolling basis. And this better reliability, this better predictability of budget developments made it easier for the Ministry of Finance and for the line ministries to cope with budget planning.
And a third component is performance measurement. So tell us, what is required of every agency now under these reforms in terms of measurement?
First of all, each ministry has to define five objectives which the respective ministry wants to achieve. These are the top five priorities for each ministry. And we ask the ministries, be lean, focus on the most important issues. Don't tell us everything. These five objectives are voted in parliament. So this is relevant for the political discussion. We have outputs on lower budget levels that would contribute to the objectives on a ministerial level. So this is an integrated system where on each budget level you have outputs or outcomes with the relevant indicators to make sure that at the end of the day you can assess whether objectives or outcomes have been met, yes or no.
Parliament approves each agency's goals.
Yes.
The holy grail, if you will, of a lot of performance measurement and management efforts is to make it real and not just a compliance exercise. It seems like, maybe not with every agency, but it seems like it's moving in the direction of being quite real. How did that happen?
Because we install watchdogs to make sure that the relevance is guaranteed. The first watchdog is the parliament. We trained members of parliament to grill us in the administration, just to make sure that they make use of the new levers and guarantee relevance. The next element is the Court of Audit, which would assess if the objectives and outputs are met or no. And the third watchdog is the media. Journalists are interested in what the result of the public sector really is and report. And finally, we found that lots of non-government organizations are very much interested in what the public sector does. So we created a climate where it was relevant what they wanted to achieve. And this created an environment where it was not a bureaucratic exercise, but it was really a political debate. Why we pay taxes? What is the result for the taxpayer? What is the result for the citizen?
And members of parliament are asking questions in budget meetings of these agencies.
Absolutely. And they I've witnessed discussions where line ministers were asked, why do you have such unambitious objectives? Why can't you why isn't it possible that you have more ambitious objectives? And I can guarantee as soon as a minister is grilled in the budget committee, he or she is very much aware of the fact that this is relevant, what is discussed there. And he or she will make sure that within the administration, within the staff of the ministry, these things are taken seriously.
Mm-hmm. And is there a way to use this process to overcome the silos of government? In other words, different agencies sometimes working on similar objectives?
Absolutely. This is a very, very important issue. For instance, there are several common issues for a Ministry of Defense and a Ministry of Interior. and a Ministry of Justice. Other examples, climate change, for instance, there are common issues for the Ministry of Agriculture and the Ministry of Transport and other ministries. So in overlapping policy areas, it's necessary that ministries talk to each other before they define their objectives, because otherwise everybody who reads the budget could see that they don't talk to each other because the objectives are not consistent to each other.
So finally, Gerhard, any concluding pieces of advice based on the Austrian experience for public officials, whether at the state, local, or federal levels in the United States or elsewhere, who are considering implementing a performance budgeting system?
Of course, situations are different in different countries. Nevertheless, there are some basic ideas that could be relevant for each of them. If you start with performance, make sure that the results are relevant in the discussion. Do not just create a bureaucratic exercise. That wouldn't make any sense. So it's about involving political decision makers in this process. And that is relevant certainly for each level of government. The second experience that we had is try to focus on the most important issues. Don't try to cover everything. Avoid a bureaucratic monster. This is very much important to guarantee acceptance and understanding for the reform. Because if you write a report of 500 pages, nobody would read it. Last issue that I would like to mention is try to create ownership in the staff of the administration. Because the staff has to do the day-to-day work. If the staff is not convinced, if the staff doesn't see any sense in this exercise,
This is not just something done to them,
right?
But they are part of this process.
And they have to be clear, the staff of the agencies have to be clear that this is a wonderful instrument of proving to the public that their work makes sense, that they are valuable parts of the working force, that it's relevant what they do, that they are not just spending taxpayers' money, but they are producing results which are valued in society. So it's about self-esteem for the staff of agencies. And therefore, again, a win-win situation could be created.
Before we go, by the way, you have another passion in your life besides improving the performance of government, which is music.
Absolutely. I think everybody needs an area where she or he can do quite different things than in office or in the job. It's about work-life balance.
Yeah. And you're in a band.
I have a band. I have financed my studies being a musician in bars. And I play guitar and saxophone and I sing.
Gerhard Steger from the Ministry of Finance in Austria, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me.